Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Hope.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And we are the Cinema Chicks.
Hope, we're back for episode 2 of the season 2 of The White Lotus.
Yes.
Okay, this is kind of bold of me, but dare I say, I think I'm enjoying season 2 more than season 1. But I also think
I think I am too.
Yeah, maybe I need to go back to season 1 though, because I'm like, I remember really loving it. I think I'm just, like, having a hard time, like, remembering all the, like, intricacies and, like, all the really great moments.
Yeah, it's hard because this show is so dialogue-heavy mm-hmm. as opposed to action-heavy.
Yeah.
Which I remember struggling with for the first season because, you know, first season we really didn't have any context of what was happening.
Right.
All we know is there's, you know, this big grand opening and then, the, you know, there's a murder.
Yes.
And then it flashes back to everything and then it takes so long.
It was a slow burn.
Yeah. So I remember at this point last year watching White Lotus, I was like, do I even want to keep watching?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's giving a little snooze fest for me.
Yeah.
But then, you know, thinking back on it in its totality, it's like, oh my gosh, this is
yes
genius. Because it's giving more theater as opposed to, mm-hmm. you know, crazy, like, network one-hour TV shows, you know, like Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
Or that kind of
yeah.
action-y based.
And these are good-length episodes. I mean, they're all
an hour
like an
plus.
Hour long. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which I've enjoyed because we're only getting one a week. And it's crazy because, I guess, I don't know, like, I always forget how fast TV goes because I either like binge a show or I'm watching a movie. And this aired October 30th and it's going to be done by December 11th. So I'm like, oh my God, like before Christmas, like we're already going to know what had happened, which is kind of wild. And I feel like that's kind of what happened in season 1 as well, is where like we didn't know where it was going. And then suddenly it picked up at the end and suddenly like done. This is what happened. So I feel like we're kind of getting the same thing. And, you know, episode 1, we got introduced to the lovely characters. We talked about that in our episode 1 recap. And in episode 2, things are starting to brew. We have Portia, who is Jennifer Coolidge's character, Tanya's assistant. And she has like a budding romance mm-hmm. with Albie.
A budding romance with this really awkward but handsome and smart
yeah, nice.
Guy. It's so interesting because they are pretty much the same age, mm-hmm. but she is soaked in Gen Z
yes.
and internet culture. I guess we could call Portia chronically online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he is... can barely ask her out to dinner.
Yes, yes.
It's a fascinating dynamic.
It's been fun to watch, and I am excited to see where it's going to go because it's, you know, we saw like this young love meeting on the trip in the first season, mm-hmm. but it was a different dynamic. It was between, you know, one of the guests and one of the workers.
Yeah, and that there's also, they have like a passion project involved yes. of, you know, stealing and class strife and whatnot, but this is kind of I don't want to say the opposite because it's still kind of the same setup, you know, she's mm-hmm. there working
yes
technically
yes.
even though she's on this vacation and she's miserable
right
and he's like also kind of miserable because he doesn't necessarily want to be there because his parents are in the middle of a divorce separation
yeah.
kind of
he's there with
moment
his...
and his sister wouldn't come either and
yeah.
then he's got a creepy grandfather
yeah
maybe not necessarily creepy just a filterless grandfather
well yeah at the beginning the first episode I feel like we thought that the grandfather was the creepy one but now in this we're seeing that his father you know that must be where the dad gets from the grandfather.
Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, because in this episode we see more of his ladies that he has hired.
Yeah, the two local girlies, the Lucia and Mia, who, yeah, first of all, slay.
Yeah, their names.
They're iconic.
They're from Sicily, and they come into his hotel, and in this episode, they get their room keys,
yes,
and they get put on the tab.
Yeah, and they are milking it, which, yeah, honestly, if I were in that situation too, I support them.
Yeah, and it seems like this is something that they do. They're locals to this area, and they know White Lotus is there, and there's rich older men there that are lonely or, you know, looking for something else. They're looking for some fun in Italy with these young hot women. So they're definitely playing their cards, and I'm starting to get really interested because they have this conversation with the hotel worker about, like, oh, well, you're a woman of work too. And that kind of, just seeing that interaction between the Italians and what the worker was willing to say to them versus, like, true guests.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see what we're going to get from the staff, because the staff was such a big part of season one.
Yeah, and they're not, from the setup of the first episode and then this one too, really, yeah, the only staff we're getting anything from is the hotel manager.
Right.
Who,
right,
is just, she just seems exhausted.
For sure. I feel like we're not really seeing any other staff. So it kind of, no, seems like her and,
well, and the guy who plays the piano.
Oh, yeah.
In the bar.
But what is he doing
now?
That
was so brief.
And then, yeah, he barely plays the piano because Mia then go plays and she sings The Best Things in Life Are Free, which has been my, like, audition song for when I did musical theater.
Really?
And, I mean, I never sang it quite as good as her, but I also didn't sing it, like, jazzy. You know, I was singing it more up-tempo musical theater. But I was like, oh, my God, I know this song. But she did a beautiful job. I loved hearing it. And, yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's a little bit more to that in episode 3, which we'll get to in our next recap. But yeah, we also have this interesting pair of couple with Cameron and Daphne and Ethan and Harper.
Yeah.
They're on this vacation together because Cameron and Ethan are friends and...
Not friends. They're college roommates.
Yeah, they're college roommates.
We're not actually friends.
And in this episode, we see that Ethan now has a lot of money and he has come to this, and Cameron and Daphne clearly do, but it's almost like they are, like, happy that Harper and Ethan have, like, joined the ranks with them and,
yeah,
like, oh, see how this life is now. Like, this is almost feels like their trip to, like, welcome to the exclusive club. Like, this is what money can get you. This is what we do all the time. And, like, now that you have money, you can join us. So that was very interesting to see, and I feel like we're definitely getting some weird vibes there between Cameron and Harper. They go swimming, and,
well, yeah,
he just
he
keeps...
does that weird, like, shark thing on her.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, my God. And he's like, oh, I thought...
You don't like us.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, nah, no, what are you talking about? Which is my favorite thing that Aubrey Plaza does.
She's so good.
She is such a good... I don't know how to put this, but even on Parks and Rec,
yeah,
she always had so many moments of, you know, she has a true self, but then she knows how to fake things,
yes,
really well,
yeah,
too, but in a way that's, you as the audience know that she's,
but the people
being fake, but the people are, buy into it.
Yes.
I don't know. I love her so much.
I was very interested because I didn't feel like, after seeing the first season, like, oh, this is an Aubrey Plaza sort of project. But
it totally is. She's so perfect.
Seeing her character
so
in this, it's really perfect for her, this role. I think I was just trying to place her into, like, one of the characters from the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, who would, yeah, she have been? But obviously these are new characters in the season, except for, you know, Jennifer Coolidge and her husband. But it's been really exciting just seeing it all unravel.
Yeah,
and
then Jennifer Coolidge is going through a little bit of a hard time too.
Yeah.
Being at dinner and having Greg be like, I have to go back. It's a business thing.
Well,
but is it, question mark?
Yeah, that's the big question. Is she thought this was going to be her, like, Italian day on a Vespa, and she was going to be wearing all this clothes, and they were going to eat clam pasta and
all
this.
So much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad because, you know, she does want to have this big party. And we also hear, or not a big party, but, you know, this,
a party for herself.
A party for herself.
Yeah,
a big day she had planned. And we hear from Portia, who's her assistant, that, you know, she signed an NDA and that Tanya basically has all this trauma from her childhood and she just was given all this money. So I feel like this sort of like abandonment theme for Tanya has like come up, and now we're kind of understanding why she feels this way, which is really sad to see. But the episode ends and she hears him, her husband, out on the porch basically saying like, don't worry, she doesn't know.
Yeah, that was odd, and I'm curious to see how that plot line will unfold.
Yes.
And I kind of want Jennifer Coolidge to just like have her moment and stab him or something, and that's
He might be the one that dies.
I'd support that.
My guess was Ethan.
Oh
yeah,
interesting. Multiple people are dead.
Oh, true.
So, I don't know.
And Daphne doesn't seem phased.
Right.
So, it must not be Cameron, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe
it's nobody in her party. Yeah. And now that I'm like, okay, see, this is the kind of conversation that I love from, like, a murder thing. I love this kind of murder plot unraveling, not like a whodunit. I'm not crazy about that structure just because it feels so
overdone.
You know, as much as I loved Knives Out, I'm sure Glass Onion is going to be very similar and See How They Run, and you know, there's a million of these, Murder on the Orient, like all these.
Exactly.
But I like this sort of thing because we don't know who's gonna die and it's not like a detective coming in and it doesn't have those cliches. So it's really fun to see it unravel, and every person connecting with another person just kind of makes you think like, oh, you know, where is this going to lead? And once the parties start mixing, which I think we really see in this episode, we're kind of just introduced to everybody. Now Portia knows Albie and Tanya runs into Portia and Albie. And I think that's what's so fun about the White Lotus series, is it's all these people coming to a place to escape, and ultimately they all kind of intertwine with each other. And it's all people that really would have never met outside, which confuses me about Portia and Albie. You know, that's great, a little vacation love story, but I'm like, wait, where do these two people live within the U.S.? How are they going to have a... like thinking about the logistics. I'm like,
well, exactly.
After Italy, how is this going to work?
But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I would never do this.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds fun though.
It does.
You know, a little romance
in
Italy. But yeah, it's just been so fun to watch, and I'm getting excited just seeing everybody intertwine and the stakes raising. And I mean, Mike White, he knows how to leave us on a cliffhanger here with this whole situation about Tanya. And I have to say, like, she's a fun character to watch, but it almost feels predictable of like this like whining every episode sort of thing. So I'm happy that there's like kind of a wrench thrown into this, and it feels like, okay, now she's not just whining about wanting this, wanting that. Like, now she's in a predicament and she needs to find her way out of it or confront it. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
Me too.
It's been fun. And, you know, episode 2 out of 7, unfortunately, I mean, I wish this would just continue, but then that would probably drive me crazy, like not knowing for that long. So yeah, this was a good episode and lots of fun to watch. Can't wait for episode 3. And on that note, that's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to our bonus episode. If you enjoyed, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Cinema Chicks and on TikTok at Cinema Chicks.
And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Hope Johansson and on Letterboxd at H Joha.
And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Vespas.
Shopping on somebody else's tab.
And clam pasta. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.